Okay, we are in the middle of Paragimel. Working? Okay, we're in the middle of Paragimel. We are up to Pasuk Tes. Okay, up to Pasuk Tes. Okay, before we go to Pasuk Tes, there's just one more point I want to make about Pasuk Ches. I left that yesterday. Go back to Pasuk Ches. This is a shocking Pasuk, and it's very revealing. It's revealing. It's a form of anti-Semitism, and that is to rewrite history. Yeshno Am Echad. There is a nation. Let me tell you, there is a nation. What do you mean there is a nation? Yeshno Am Echad. Haman talks as if Mordechai, as if Achashverosh never heard about the Jewish people. It's a novelty that there exists such a nation in the world called Klal Yisrael. What kind of business is this? If you want to attack Klal Yisrael, talk about Klal Yisrael. Everyone knows that Klal Yisrael existed from time immemorial, from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. They've been in existence at this point in time for more than 1,000 years. And you want to go back to the time of Avraham Avinu, so we're going back over 1,500 years. Well, you never heard of Klal Yisrael. They are the people who dominated world history for the last 1,500 years. And all of a sudden you're saying, yeah, let me tell you about something that you might not know about. There's a nation, there's an Am Echad, Mifuzor, Mifurad, Bein Ho'amin, V'Dosayim, Shonos. What? This is the nature of Halacha B'Yodeinu Esav Sonei Yaakov, to make belief, to rewrite history. It's been, what?
Well, then Yosef
got the
same problem.
I don't think that's it. He's making this proposal.
Yeah.
And the advisors of Achashverosh know full well that who the Jewish people are and their history, and they think, what? What idiot wants to mess with these people, given the history, you know, that people who mess with them get clobbered. So he has to present a revisionist form of history.
Oh, exactly. A revisionist form of history. Exactly the point. These words, Yeshno Am Echad, there is a nation. The connotation of these words implies
heard of these guys.
But he's saying like you probably never heard of this nation. How could you possibly say you never heard of the Jewish people? The answer is, it was all part of proper this approach to rewriting history. The Jews never existed. They never lived in Israel. They never had a claim to the Har Habayis. They had never lived in Israel. Now that we have established the facts that the Jewish people never really existed, they're just some usurpers and some extremist group that has come out of nowhere, it makes it a lot easier to eliminate them and remove them from the world stage. This is something which goes on daily, every single day in the modern world, and it's rooted, you see here, explicitly in the Megillah, and the Megillah is even more outrageous, because then they were closer to the source. It's only 70 years ago when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That was like Holocaust deniers. Right over here, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed 70 years ago, and even the party that Achashverosh made was to celebrate the destruction of the Jews, the fact that they're not going to be resurrected. And all of a sudden, you know, Yeshnoi Am Echad. Let me tell you something you don't know. These extremists, they're roaming the street, and we are tolerating them. The time has come to obliterate them. You probably never heard of them. They're called Jews. This is a very, very evil form of anti-Semitism that exists then and still continues to exist ad Hayom Hazeh. Okay, now with that, let's go to Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes. Im al Melech Tov, Yikosev La'Abdam, if it's good before the king, Yikosev La'Abdam, may you write in your decrees that they should be destroyed, and I'm going to pay. There's a cost involved. To the people who are going to carry out the plan. In other words, they're going to have to remove the bodies from the street. The sanitation is going to have to be employed over time to remove the bodies from the street, to demolish their homes, take away their property. So you know what? I will pay the expense out of my own pocket. 10,000 talents of silver, which is a huge amount of money. Eshkol will be paid to the people that will do paid for the overtime. And the money will be brought immediately to the Ginzei HaMelech, to the treasures of the king, to the treasure house of the king, in order that the money will be, in order that everything will be ready to go into effect. Don't give me an excuse that we don't have the money for it. And the budget, no one should object that it's not practical because there is no money available for this, for the overtime. Don't worry, the money has come forward. Pasuk Tes in Rashi, Yikosev l'abdam, Yikosev sefarim l'shloach l'sarei hamedinos l'abdam. So what does it mean, Yikosev? So obviously Rashi is bothered. Does it mean there should be a law should be passed? No, it means letters. Letters should be sent out to all of the Medinos in order, Yikosev sefarim l'shloach, to distribute l'sarei hamedinos l'abdam. This is a nikra chaser. Targum, Pasuk Tes, if somebody's talking about a little bit more, a shorter now, a little bit easier. Pasuk Tes in the Targum, Im al Malkos Shafar, if it's pleasing, Yikosev Kisava, a document should be written, Le'ovodo Yosol, to destroy them. The Asera Salfim Kikrin Dikhsaf, and 10,000 talents of silver, Eskol, I will pay, Al Yido Avde Avidita, I will pay to the people who do the work, Le'mese Le'beiskin Zoya, and this money will be brought to the treasure house, the Malka, Uman Yochil Mone Shitin Rivivon. And whoever is able, okay, now here he's adding something in which I'm not exactly sure the translation. Maybe you can help me. Anyone knows the translation, a precise translation? Man yochil, mone shitin rivivon. And how much money is it? How much money? Shitin rivivon, the salkon avo hason min shabuton de mitzroye.
I think maybe referring to
Machta Shekel. 600,000. Shitin Rivivan, 60 times 10,000, which equals 600,000. The Salkon, which is the sum of
Salkon means they left.
Okay, okay. The Salkon Avoson means they left Egypt. Okay. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean? The Uman Yochil. Okay, so 60 times 10,000, 600,000. The Salkon, who their forefathers left, means Shababudon, Dimitra, from this.
Money, who can count? But I don't know what that has to do with anything.
Uman Yochil, who can count them? Who can count? Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's well known at the beginning of Shkola, for example. Says that by Klal Yisrael having given the matzah shekel,
the shekel Yisrael preceded the coins of Haman.
Preempted the 10,000, which is the equivalent of that.
Okay, so that's the big question. There's a lot of discussion, which I didn't study. What was the calculation of exactly 10,000 talents of silver?
Complicated, but
right, so it's very complicated. Right, so I don't have any exact calculation, but the Targum here is alluding to this. The fact that the Targum adds these words into the Pasuk. This is not mentioned to the Pasuk. All the Pasuk says is that I'm willing to pay 10,000 talents of silver in order for the work to be done, and it will be brought to the Ginzei HaMelech. Targum translates it kamat mila b'mila, except who is able to count the 600,000 Jewish people who have left Egypt. So seemingly there is a connection between the 10,000 talents of silver and the number of Jews who left Mitzrayim. So some want to say that they refer. The only thing which I prepared is I don't have the exact calculation, is that Haman wanted to pay the erich value of 600,000 men between 20 and 60. Okay, so we know that in the last parasha in Chumash Shemos, Parashas Bichlukosai, we learn about the Arachin. Every single member in Klal Yisrael has a specific erich value between 20 and 60. Is the most expensive is 50 shkolim. So 50 multiplied by Now the calculation works out that 50 shkolim multiplied by 600,000 Jews comes out to exactly 10,000 talents of silver. I think the calculation comes out to half of that, but the shkolim were doubled. The shkolim, the kesef shel kodesh, is doubled the kesef shel chol. Okay, but let's just work with that assumption that that's what he wanted to pay. Now, if that is correct, it gives a lot of flavor to the medrash that you have just mentioned. The medrash says that when Hashem saw that Achashverosh gave, that Haman gave to Achashverosh, who was willing to give 10,000 talents of silver to the Jewish people, Hashem said, too little, too late. The machzis hashekel that the Jewish people have given at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim have preceded your shkolim. Now the question is, my inyan ze etzel ze? So the answer is, the machzis hashekel is a teeny amount. It's not even a full shekel. A person's erich value is 50 shkolim. A machz shekel is 1/100th. Is 1/100th of a person's value. 1/100th is symbolic of a teeny amount. A mashahu. A Haman was willing to pay a person's full value. Hashem was saying, it's not the money that I want. What I want is for a person to recognize that everything that he has comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, even if you give a small teeny fraction of what your net worth is, but it's done with the recognition of who you are and where you come from, that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more valuable than paying cash you the full value of what you're worth. So Haman here paid 10,000 talents of silver, which we're going to assume is the full erich value of 600,000 men between the age of 20 and 60. And Hashem said to Haman, I don't care about you paying full value per member of Klal Yisrael. What I care about is the recognition that Hashem created the world, and you're here in this world to serve Hashem. Lo Hashem Elokecha Shol Melochim Liyiroso. And this is what Klal Yisrael recognizes, and therefore when they come to redeem their souls, they just give L'chaper al Nafsho Seichem, as it says in the Parasha Machza Shekel, they just give 1/100th. Yeah.
I just noticed something that never occurred to me before. The way the pasuk says, "Sarasolchim yikar kesef ishkol," it doesn't say ashalim. So
shkolim. So it's alluding to the machzah shekel. It's alluding to the concept of machzah shekel. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. So Vayasa Pasig Yud Vayasa Hamelchas Tabatom the Al Yodov Vayitino Luchaman Ben Hamdasa Hoagogi Tsarer Hayudim. This one is a few places in the Megillah where his name is mentioned in full. He is Haman ben Hamedasa Hoagogi. He comes from Agag. He comes from the king Agag, which was from Amalek, who was allowed to live. He is Tsarer Hayudim. He is the enemy, the arch enemy of the Jewish people. The reason why the Pasig mentions this here is because we want to make it clear that the Am Echad was Klal Yisrael. You see, there's discussion if the world really knew. If the world really knew who the nation was, going back to Pasuk Ches, he did not mention the Jewish people. So we discussed it's a form of anti-Semitism, revisionist to rewrite history to tell us just to downplay who the Jewish people are. But there's another approach, and that some of the Midrash will elaborate upon this idea. When they sent out letters, the letters were stated that on the day, on the 13th day of Adar, in the coming year, you should be prepared. L'hiyos asidim layom hazeh. On this day, we're going to reveal another letter. In other words, there were two letters sent to the entire world. One letter was read, and one letter was confidential, was sealed, was not read. The day the letter would be read would be on the day of the 13th day of Adar, when that letter would be opened. All it said in the first letter was, a major event is going to happen on day 13 of Adar, and it hinted to the fact that you're going to be commissioned to obliterate a nation, but who that nation is a big secret. It may be the Egyptians, it may be the Jews, it may be the Babylonians, maybe the Kazdim, who knows who it is, maybe the Americans, the British, Turks, who is it? No one knows. that was a technique because that way no one would have time to prepare. No one knew for sure that they were slated. The Jewish people would not know for sure they're slated for Chorban, and that way they would not prepare for the inevitable. So again, there were two letters sent to the entire world. One letter said, on this day I'm going to give permission to destroy a nation, but which nation? That will be revealed bo bayom. Bo bayom is when they will open up another letter that will be sealed and you will see what it says inside. And that's why it says Yeshno Am Echad, it was all done in disguise. Now, therefore, this pasuk is coming to be mashlim. No one should make any mistake. The Jewish people knew, since the one that signed this was the Secretary of State, or the Vice President, whatever title you want to give, whatever title you wish to give to Haman, he was the Mishneh LeMelech. Who's the one that signed? Haman. When the Jewish people saw that it was signed by Haman, and even though publicly it was a big mystery, it was even a greater mystery than Star Wars. Right? I read the articles that it was guarded, the plot of Star Wars was guarded with unprecedented secrecy in the Hollywood industry to guard the plot of a coming release of a film. Okay, so it was unprecedented, the secrecy of which nation is slated for destruction. But when the Jewish people saw that it was signed by Haman, there was absolutely no doubt what this meant. Why? Because Haman's essence is Ben Hamidasa Ho'agogi Tzorer HaYehudim. And such a person has only one thing in mind. There's only one thing he has in mind, is to destroy the Jewish people. Hitler, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, his own, the historians have said, his only obsession was to destroy the Jewish people. The war to conquer the world was secondary to his goal to cleanse the world from Jews. This is it. And that's why the pasuk, according to some of the commentators, is coming to reveal it's tying back these words in pasuk Yud is a continuation or is a revelation of what it says in pasuk Ches. In pasuk Ches, it was done in disguise. Am Echad. Who is the Am Echad? It's a big mystery. It's under lock and key. But if the one that's putting the signature, the Tabas, is being issued by Haman, who is Haman? Ha'agogi, Ben Hamidasa, Ha'agogi, Tzer HaYehudim, have no doubt what this means for the Jewish people. Okay, let's see Pasuk Yud in the Rashi. The Rashi Melech has Tabato, Hu Matan Kol Dover Godol. This means anything Godol, She Yishalu Me'es HaMelech, this is a gift of something great. Something significant has to be issued through the signet ring of the king. Liyos Mi She'atabas Miyodo Shalit B'chol Dvar HaMelech. It means that if the person who has the ring of the king, he has authority over all matters of the Melech. Okay, if you look at the Sifrei Chachamim, what does he elaborate? The Koshlei, who bikesh labris haYehudim veHamelech nosnei satabas? Mash leShol v'loy bikesh mimenu. What's going on? According to the symbol in the single pasuk, what's going on? The he asks for to permission to destroy the Jewish people, and he's giving him the ring. My inyan ze eitzel ze. The answer is no. You need the ring in order to implement your plan. Lekech peshu. He's acquiescing. We know the Chazal tell us that Godol Hasaras Hatabas Yoser Mimemches Nevi'os LiYisrael, that this, the removal, this pasuk Yud is has greater significance to Klal Yisrael than all of the 48 prophets accomplished more for Klal Yisrael than all of the 48 prophets were able to accomplish in the Sifrei Nach. They were screaming and they were giving Musar, standing on their head from today until tomorrow, and the Klal Yisrael did not listen. The Chorban came, and since they could not listen, the effect was felt years later. After the Chorban, we go back and we study the words and we have enormous benefits, and it will be significant in bringing Mashiach. But basically what it means is there was no immediate results. I think that's really what the deeper meaning of this Chazal. How can you possibly say that the removal of the Tabas by Achashverosh accomplished more for Klal Yisrael than 48 Nevi'im? Can't be. 48 prophets, you know what they accomplished? Even a molecule of dust on the toenail of one of the Nevi'im accomplished more for Klal Yisrael than the wicked Achashverosh taking off his filthy, dirty ring and giving it to Haman. The answer is, it's true. The Nevi'im accomplished infinitely more than Ahasuerus, but the accomplishment was in the long term. It was not immediate. They gave Musar. The Musar was rejected at the time. The Churban came. But later, when the Jewish people went into Golis, the Musar sunk in. It sunk in, it had an effect, and we used the words of Musar as a form of therapy to bring the Geula, to heal ourselves spiritually and yearn for the coming of Mashiach. So there is no question that the Geula Hasida is only through the efforts of the Nevi'im. But immediate results, who's the one that accomplished immediate results? It's like a shock, you know, or a homeless son, someone, emergency medicine. Emergency medicine, people are trained, Hatzol, they're trained emergency medicine, they can mamish the Tchias HaMeisim. Right, they can mamish prevent the person. I once heard someone, they said there's no such thing today. I don't know if this is true, I don't think it's true, but someone said there's no such thing as a person dying on an operating table. Doesn't exist. Because if a person dies on an operating table, they're subject to massive lawsuits. And even the insurance companies can't save you from the malpractice a suit that will result from dying on the operating table. So what do you mean? What do you mean? What, Chaim HaMavis is in the hand of the doctor? The answer is on the operating table, yes. Because they have technology where you can keep a person alive artificially no matter, there's emergency medicine, you keep a person alive enough time to get him off the operating table into the recovery, and if he dies in recovery, so that's not the doctor's fault, that's something else. So same thing over here. This was emergency medicine. Hasaras HaTabas accomplished incredible things. Klal Yisrael, they rallied, they did tshuva, and they were spared. Okay, let's see the Targum. Targum Pasuk Yud. The Ade Malko Yos Gushpanke. Ade seemingly means he removed. Okay, he removed his Gushpanke. That's a very fancy word. How do I think you have in the Mishnayis? His signet ring, Mi Ilave Yade. The Gushpanke, there's a sugi that I think Mesech Tekelim. There's a ring. Mr. Weiss, you know Mesech Tekelim in your sleep. The ring, right? There's the Gushpanke. There's the ring. The ring, the wood part, and the Gushpanke is made from metal. The Gushpanke is wood. So it's a Mishnah. Gushpanke is the ring. Mi'ilave yade from Avraham's hand. Vihavo lehaman bar hamdasa, and he gave him another who demizar is. This is the key word that the Targum uses to embellish the pasuk. Who is from the seed haman Ben Hamdasa, he is the descendant where he comes from, his wickedness, Dimizaris Agag Meika Yudihuda, the enemy. Meika means the tsorer, the tsar, ish tsar vioyev hamon harahazeh, the arch enemy dihudoe of the Jewish people. Okay, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayoimer Hamelech Lahamon HaKesef Nosun Loch. Keep the money. Now simply we translate the Pasuk. We translate the pasuk Nasun Lach means you can keep the money. But a more literal interpretation, which some of the commentators took, says, no, I'll take the money. I want to do a kinyan. Haman, he was very real, like a chasna. You know, you want to make a kinyan. Kabbalah's kinyan. I'll take the money. Give me the money. I love money. I'll take the money. But after he took the money, he gave the money back. In other words, it should be legal. That's right, you're a very good plan. The reason why you want to give the money is no one should come along later on and say that this is illegal, because who's going to pay for this? The taxpayers. You have no right. You have no right to go and take money from the hard-working taxpayers and implement a decree without authorization, without due diligence, and commissions, and recommendations, and a Congress approval, and bills and legislation. You can't do this. Okay, so let's go through the legal process. Give me the money, write up the documents, we'll vote, v'chulu, v'chulu. Now that everything is, all the I's have been dotted, the T's have been crossed, now, Haman, come into my chambers. You can have the money back. Now that it's all legal, under the table, presidents have access to secret money. Okay, the government have funds for I think Nixon. Nixon, when they wanted to, the reporter wanted Watergate. So they originally, Nixon said, "Don't worry, this just keep quiet." Like there was a lot of part of the investigation. He was willing to give from the government enormous amounts of money to keep everything still a hate. Who's paying for this money? Who's paying for this? Taxpayers. President seemingly has access to slush funds. They have which is off the record, and he has access to do all these type of things. So hakesef nasulach, this is the slush fund. Take your money back. It's very nice of you. How many you gave me these 10,000? Because nasun means I'm giving it to you. Nasulach. It doesn't say in the pasuk keep the money. There are other expressions the pasuk could have used to indicate that just keep the money in your pocket. Give the money to me, and I'll give the money back to you. So we should have a kabbalas kinyan, and everything should be legal according to law. But you will be able to keep the money for yourself because this I want to show you how much I want. I want this to be carried forth. V'ha'am la'sois b'katabeinach, and you can do with the people whatever you want. Let's see Rashi pasuk Yud Aleph. There is no Rashi. Pasuk Yud Aleph from the Targum. V'amar malka lohaman kaspa yehei mis yehei vloch. The money should be given to you. V'amo yehevyon misyun biyodach. And the nation should be given. Then notice it does not say which nation. Whichever nation you're referring to, you never. Nowhere did it say in the documents the Jews. That would be anti-Semitism. How can you be an anti-Semite in the modern world? It's not politically correct. But if there's an Am that's mufuzar mufurad beinu Am and vidasim einam oisim v'shoynos mikolam v'yestasim einam oisim, of course they have to be eliminated. It doesn't say the Jews. Not when this is, there's no racial discrimination here. It's just if you're not following, everything is legal. If you're not following, it makes logical sense. If they have a nation that doesn't want to follow the laws of the country, so they have to be eliminated. V'amoyehavon misiwan biyadach lemebad madi yoytiv kodamach, what is pleasing in your eyes katoiv be. Notice word katoiv. The word katoiv is a very popular word in the Megillah. It starts im ala melech toiv, if it's toiv before the melech, and here it says katoiv beinecha, whatever is good in your eyes. Now we mentioned when we review, because it's very important when we review, some people not here yesterday, when we review this idea, it's a beautiful idea. According to the Medrash says that kesef nasulach, Haman the Hachasher says give the money to tzedakah. Kesef nasulach, what?
What's in the tzedakah?
Tzedakah. He said the money should be given, don't keep the money in your pocket, I'm giving the money back to you, and use the money to feed the poor. And that way, what was the advantage? First of all, it will hide. This is the derech of corrupt people. Whenever you commit a crime, the way to cover up the crime is by hiding it in chesed. On the same day when they issue an edict to destroy a nation, what could be more cruel? The president is presiding over the cornerstone of a new public school, of a new soup kitchen, of a new library, a soup kitchen. Wow! And the whole world is coming together. What a wonderful thing! He's so kind and gracious. He cares about the poor. This is just a cover. It's just a cover for an act of cruelty that's taking place. That you're trying to deflect the attention of the media. You're trying to deflect their attention by doing something else. So therefore, it was a very clever plan. We're going to pass legislation to eradicate this mysterious Am. No one's going to even know about it. So no one should start screaming that we're not proper. But in the meantime, on that very day, we're going to come together for global warming to save the planet. To save the planet. ISIS is raising its ugly head. Still hate, do whatever you want. But for the public, chesed. We're doing chesed. We're going to save 7 billion people from death. There are more important things than climate warming. This is a very sophisticated technique that's taking place over here of kesef nason loch. Now,
I mean the word katov.
What?
The word tov, or some could be referred to the kesef.
What?
Katov,
right. So you want to tie the katov, something that's good. Some good, use the money. Well, that's the ha'om. The ha'om la sospo katov beinecha. That's going on the people. The people, you do whatever you want. Whatever you want, you want to destroy the people, fine. But cover it up by giving the money. The money that I'm giving you, nothing. I'm giving it. You're giving it to me. I'm giving it back to you. And my instructions is use it as something that's going to be pleasant in order to deflect any criticism from the government. Now we mentioned yesterday that this idea opens up many ideas to explain different Mamari Chazal. Number one, how could it be that Mibnei Banav Shel Haman Lamdu Tar Mibnei Barak? So Keref Teroimim Goy. It's a pasuk with the Sugya Masechta Bava Basra, where where Chazal, Baba Ben Buta, Baba Ben Buta advised Churdis to support the Talmidei Chachamim. And the question was that advisable? Furthermore, Daniel, he advised Nebuchadnezzar also that he should give tzedakah. Giving tzedakah will prevent the gzera ra coming upon him. He had a dream which indicated that his malchus will come to an end, he will be destroyed. Daniel advised him, in the meantime, give tzedakah, that will delay or even annul the decree of Misa and the loss of your Malchus. And he listened, and it worked. So Hashem does not deny reward to any one of His creatures. The fact that Haman did indeed give tzedakah, akesef nasun lach, and it was used for tzedakah, was a degree of merit. It's hard for us to understand such a thing, but that's what Chazal say, and that's why Bibnei Banav Shel Haman Lamdu Torah Bibnei Brak. And we mentioned yesterday, the other idea is that when Haman came on the day after, when things already started to look not too good for him, when the tables were beginning to turn, and he comes to take Mordechai to parade him in the street, to give him kavod, and he comes to the yeshiva, and Mordechai is teaching Talmidim, he's teaching them the laws of kmitza, the laws of menachas, how to take a kmitza, and Haman says to the Talmidim, what is Mordechai teaching you today? So they said, he's teaching us the laws of kmitza. The Kohen, he slices his fingers into a pile of flour and takes three fingers, and takes a small teeny amount of flour and he puts it on the Mizbeach, and that is an offering to Hashem. Haman said, wow, look at that. How much does it cost, that small amount of flour that you put on the Mizbeach? It costs pennies. How much could it possibly cost, a small amount of flour? Those few pennies that you offer to Hashem as a sacrifice is more valuable to Hashem than the 10,000 talents of silver I was willing to pay Achashverosh to destroy the Jewish people. That's what it says in the Gemara. The question is, the few pennies of flour is going as an offering to Hashem. The 10,000 talents of silver that he was willing to pay Achashverosh is going to a melech basar v'dam for a crime, to kill a nation. It's not going to Hashem. So my inyan ze'in sol ze. But now that we know this Chazal, that the Achashverosh says HaKesef Nasan Lach, thank you very much, I'm returning it to you, and now give that money to tzedakah, to show that we're really good people, and we're doing this for the benefit. This is another form of anti-Semitism. You can study Megillas Esther, there's so many, we discussed already three different types of anti-Semitism. Another form of anti-Semitism, we're doing it for the benefit of the world. We're doing good for the world. And therefore, to show, we're going to give, we're good people. We'll prove that we're good people. Look how kind we are, look how much tzedakah we give. So indeed, Haman gave 10,000 talents of silver to tzedakah. That's the equivalent of billions of dollars. I don't know the exact calculation, but it was an enormous amount of money to support poor people. So now we understand. A Klal Yisrael, every member of Klal Yisrael, when they come to the Mikdash, they bring a mincha, and the mincha is just pennies, and you give Hashem a few pennies. And Haman, he gave also to Hashem an offering of tzedakah worth billions of dollars. So Haman, how could it be? My tzedakah was not valuable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He caused me to suffer. He's now causing me to lose everything that I've worked for. And you Klal Yisrael, you give Hashem a teeny little mashu, and look how successful you are. Just like the Machsa Shekel preceded the Shkolim of Achashverosh. Now that we know this Chazal, it makes sense, because the money wasn't just money given to pay for the work, the overtime. It was money given to actually give for tzedakah. That's where the money actually went to. Okay, Pasuk Yud Beis. The scribes of the king were called on the first month, in the Shloisha Asa Yombo, on the 13th day of the month. Now notice, in the beginning of the Pasuk Zayin, it did not tell us when Haman, when he actually cast the lots. All it said back in Pasuk Zayin was, B'chodesh Rishon Hu Chodesh Nisan B'shnash Shteim Eshrei La'melech Achashverosh Hi Pilpur, which seemingly means it was Rosh Chodesh. If the Pasuk does not tell us the day of the month, we have a right to assume it was on Rosh Chodesh. But now, so this the lots were cast, and Haman went and he went and he spoke to the king, we have a right to assume, possibly, that all of this took place on the first day of Chodesh Nisan. So why did he wait 13 days? He waited 13 days to actually have the scribes write the letters, and now to send them. Let's see what it says. We'll see why. On the 13th day, El Achashtar Pnei HaMelech. The Achashtar Pnei HaMelech means the... the different types of leaders. Okay, El Achashtar Pnei HaMelech, it means, I'm assuming it means district leaders. Because the Pachos, we translate the Pachos governors. Or maybe we'll call them mayors. So maybe you would call Achashtar Pnei, if you put it in modern terms. In America, you'd say a governor. The Achashtar Pnei HaMelech are the governors. And the Pachos are the mayors of the cities, of the big cities. Okay, I'm just guessing. They're different madregos of leadership. It's interesting, in America, you don't have regional leaders. Isn't that amazing in America? You only have governors, and you have, that's it. In all major institutions, all major league institutions in America, they have people in charge of every state, and then they have regions. There's someone who oversees the state, even the NCSY. They have people, representatives in every state, and then they have regional directors. The Northeast.
For the director for every state, so it's regional.
No, but they have, in addition to the regional, they have also lower levels in the major institutions. I'm sure you go look at the Fortune 500 companies who have offices in every single, they have in every state, they have someone that's in charge of the state, and then they have people on top of them. There's the regional director over a whole region. They'll divide the country into four or five different sections, and then they have on top of that, then they have the CEO, whoever, the one in charge. It's interesting, in America you don't have that. You don't have any regional leaders representing in Congress a region of the country, just have 50 governors. But here we have the Achashtar Pnei, they're a higher Madreig HaMelech, then the Al-Viel HaPachos, Asher Al-Medina U-Medina, Viel Sarei Am Va'am. Okay, whatever this is, three different levels of leadership. The Achashtar Pnei, the Pachos, and the Sarei. And then it says, and the Achashtar Pnei refers to the Melech. That's more federal government. The Pachos are the Medinos. The Sarei is Am Va'am. What does that mean? It means every nation, every little village, this little China, and there's little villages that have their own, I guess, culture, their own neighborhood with their own cult, Chinatown, and there is a language, Am Sarei Am Va'am. Then Medina u'Medina kichsava va'avam kilshano, according to its script and according to its language. It should be explicitly clear what's going to happen. B'shem HaMelech Achashverosh Nechtam, in the name of the king, it was written, v'nechtam, and it was sealed b'tabas HaMelech. So this is what he did on the 13th day of Adar. Now let's see first the Rashi. Rashi v'nishloch sifarim, document should be sent, v'yu nishloch, what?
Listen.
Okay, it's a mikra chaser. It should be sent. Then he translates the word in French. What it basically means is the nun is not part of the shoresh. Okay, the Sif Zeichem says lafuke she'enoi nun choesin umevi rai megizras im nilchaim. Okay, loichem. The word is loichem. The word is giloi. Galoi galisi. The word is dimyoin. And all of these words, the nun is added there as a prefix to the word, in order to explain them. So here as well, the word nishloach, the nun is not part of the shoresh. The word is shloach. Shloach means to send. The nun means, and it should be sent. It's just coming to explain what the form of the word is. B'shloisho asol l'chodesh shnei masor, b'yom yud gimel lo is l'chodesh shu yud beiz l'chodesh hashanah, the 13th day of that month, which is the 12th day of the, which is the 12th Shehu, the Yom Yud Gimel Oisei Chodesh.
13th day of the month.
Shehu Yud Beis L'Chodesh Hashana of the year, which is Adar, the 13th day of Adar. Now, that was the date that was, is that way? That's the next pasuk. There's a mistake. Isn't that the next pasuk? That's pasuk Yud Gimel. Okay, so the Rashi here, it appears that there is an error. That should be right, that should be nichlal in the next pasuk. Okay. Now the question I asked you before is, before we do the targum, why did he command that the letters be written on the 13th day of the month? So the Medrash is something very fascinating. He was afraid that the first 12 days of the month, Klal Yisrael have merits, because those are the days when the Nesiim offered the Korbanos for the Hakamas HaMishkan. The Mishkan was erected on the 25th day of Adar, on the 25th day, so 23rd day, and the Hakamas HaMishkan went on for 7 days. Vayhi Bayom Hashmini, on the 8th day was Aleph Nisan, and that was the first day. Now for the next 12 days, all of the Nisim, we just laid this, we just went through this, on Hanukkah is when the Nisim began to offer their Korbanos, the inaugural Korbanos for the Mishkan. So now, in fact, there is a minug among some that on Chodesh Nisan, when davening is over, they take out a sefer Torah from the Aron and they read the Nisim, the first 12 days of Nisan, and that's one of the reasons why we don't say Tachlon the entire Chodesh Nisan. We have the 8 days of Pesach plus the first 12 days of the month, which is the days of the Nisim, the celebration of the Hakamas HaMishkan, and therefore that's already the majority of the month. So therefore we don't say Tachlon the entire month. So these are very special days. Haman, as interesting as many of the Nazi leaders, they were very knowledgeable in Jewish tradition and Jewish custom. So he was very knowledgeable that these first days, 12 days of Nisan, he realized were very special days, and he did not want to, he figured it's not a good omen, it's not a good sign, it's not going to be successful if he tries to send out the letters during the first 12 days of Nisan, even though he made the Garul. I mean, he made the Garul clearly on the first day of Nisan, that didn't stop him. I guess he could have no choice, or maybe he felt that was private, it wasn't something that was done publicly, but he didn't want to press his luck. He did not want to actually implement the plan for the first 12 days. The 14th day of Nisan, he also was afraid of, because that's the day when we offer the Korban Pesach. The anniversary is our July 4th, Havdil of Avdolos. That's the day of when Klal Yisrael began. So that was also not a good time to send the letters. So the 13th day is neutral. It's in between the 12 days, and it's not yet Erev Pesach when you bring the Korban Pesach. So therefore, it's safe to send out the letters, the Havla is written, and he will be successful. The Medrash says, what was his failure? In what Zuchus did Klal Yisrael survive? It's an amazing Medrash. In the Zuchus of Bedikas Chometz. Now the problem is, there's a major flaw with this Medrash, because Bedikas Chometz does not take place on the 13th day. It or la'arba asar boit gemesa chometz la'or haner. Bedikas Chometz, we make a bracha, Bedikas Chometz or la'arba asar, on the or of the 14th, which is the 14th day. So this Medrash enters into, it really becomes a fascination in halacha, is that maybe really Bedikas Chametz really indeed does begin on the 13th day. First of all, what is it? What?
What happens if they go with Shabbos?
Erev Pesach Chal Yos B'Shabbos? So there are volumes and volumes on that. So you do the 13th day in Echanam, then you do the 13th day. So you want to say that this year, you want to suggest that on this year? Okay, that's a very interesting idea. I didn't see that, it doesn't say that. You're saying a fascinating idea. You're saying that that year, the year Purim, it was Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. So when did they do Bedikah? They did Bedikah Thursday night, which was the 13th. Right? If Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbos is on Shabbos, the 14th, you do Bedikah Thursday night. That's right, you do the 3rd, now you burn the chametz Friday morning. So then, Friday the 13th, very interesting, Friday the 13th, very good, you have an interesting car. You're saying a really great idea. So maybe that's what it means. Okay, but on a more derech pshat, what we learn, or la arba also. What does this mean, or? Or is a very funny word. It's the choshech. Or is daylight. Why did the Mishnah? There's so much Torah on this. On the first Mishnah, Masechet Pesachim. What's our? Someone is saying, "Zenechnami, you make the bracha. You don't wait until it gets dark. Don't wait until the very. You're supposed to begin doing the Chametz when there's a little bit of aura left as the sun is setting, while it's twilight. So it's a shtickle. It's still, you have to look at the Mefarshim exactly one moment in time, but it's already, it's still partially the 13th day. It's the very end of the 13th day leading into the 14th day. That's why it's Orla Arba Asar and not Belel Arba Asar. If the Mishnah wanted to say the night of the 14th, it should say explicitly Belel Yudalid Boit Gimesa Chametz Lar Haner. Well, if you wait until it's the Rebbeinu Tam's man, you're not going to know where the chametz is. So you're not going to be able to put out. It's too dark. It gets dark, you'll fall asleep, you'll start tripping, you get into a lot of trouble. You need to start out when there's a little light, when it's getting dark, like Hanukkah candles. When do we light Hanukkah candles? Mishatishka Hachama. Mishatishka Hachama is not necessarily Vadei Laila. Mishatishka Hachama is when the sun sets. That's the shail. We discussed this. Hanukkah. When exactly is the zman of halakas Hanukkah? You're lighting it for the next day, but you're supposed to light it when it's really the previous day, especially when it's Erev Shabbos. So therefore, Bedikas Chametz indeed begins at the tail end of the 13th day. Others want to say is that Bedikas Chametz has two parts. There's the part when you actually go around and make the bracha, but you're not allowed to do Bedikah unless you first prepare. Prepare means you have to clean. You have to be Mesader. It's a Shulchan and Shulchan Aruch. Mishnah Berurah brings this down. You don't just go into Bedikas Chametz. Before you do Bedikas Chametz, you have to go and clean the house. You got to put everything. That's not the way you do Bedikas. Okay, I haven't looked here for a year. And now we're going to light the candle and we're going to first begin to clean up the house the night of the 14th. That is Aser. You're supposed to clean the house the best you possibly can. And then you finish it off with Bedikas Chametz. So the Iker Zman to prepare the bias for Bedikas Chametz, the Iker Bedikas Chametz, even though the brach is only made at the very end, is on the 13th day. And in this Zuchus, Klal Yisrael was failed. Simone Milsa, when something starts off on a bad note, gets off on the wrong foot, it will never be successful. Haman was trying to destroy Klal Yisrael. Haman is Amalek. Haman is the personification of the Sitra Achra, of the Satan, of the Yetzirah, of everything evil and crooked in this world. What is the essence of Bedikas Chametz? It's for us to search and to seek and obliterate the Yetzirah. So it's a day, it couldn't be a better day for Haman to make this mistake. It couldn't be a better day for us to be protected from the plan of Haman. On the very day that we're going out to seek and destroy is the day when he is trying to bring out his plan. He's exposed. If he would make his plan another day of the year, so then we're vulnerable because we're not on the offensive. Think of it like that. The Yud Gimel is a day when Klal Yisrael goes on the offensive. The whole year, we're just sitting behind our shields. We're on the defense mode. Boidkim, Bedikas Chametz, the Chametz is the Seor Shebi'isa. So, Adarabah, V'nahapichu. That's the whole theme of the Megillah. Everything that he tried to do was mamish pum fakert. Like we learned yesterday, all of the insults, the Am Echad, Mifuzam, Mifurabeinu Amim, everything that he thought was an insult was really a compliment for Klal Yisrael. Everything that he tried to do worked to our benefit. And this here as well. He, Bedafka, waited for the day 13. As it says in this Pasuk, the Medrash, first 12 days are no go. It's the Nesiim. 14th day is Erev Pesach, they bring the Karim Pesach. Save time is going to be, and then it's Pesach. He's not going to chep it with Pesach, and he's not going to, why didn't he want to wait till the end of the month? Okay, why didn't he want to wait until the 21st day of the month when Pesach is over? I don't know, it doesn't say in the Medrash. What's so bad about waiting until the end of the month? Maybe it's Sfira, it's all part of your counting, I don't know. But 13th day he thought was ideal. It was not ideal. It is the essence of Bedikas Chametz. We're on the offensive, and that's how we're able to go. And it was Adrab, it was the best day possible for us to counteract his plan to bring trouble to Klal Yisrael. Now let's see what the Targum says. Let's go slow, because the Targum here is going to try to translate all of these funny words. These very hard words, and he's going to give us even more complicated words, but let's just try to see what he says. Pasuk Yud Beis. The iskiriu. He called. Kehi vayikru vayikoriu. He called. Who did he call? Lav Lorin. The scribe is the Malka. That's the Sefer Melech. Biyarcha Kadma, the first month. Bitlas Asar Yamin Bey, on the 13th day of the month, the Iskiv, it was written, Kuchol Difa Ket Haman. And what was written, everything that Haman wanted to write. Now notice that this is going to be, we'll come to this later on, is that what was written in the documents was illegal. It was not what was authorized. The Ha'om Laso spoke atov beinech. Okay, the Melech back in Pasuk Yud Aleph it said, "Vayomer Hamelech leHaman haKesef nosnoch v'Ha'om." The people laso spoke atov beinech, but you don't have any right to take away their money. Ushlolam lavos. The only thing that he had a right to do was to deal with the people, the human beings. He had no right. Haman had no right to allow the population ushlolom lavos to seize their assets. That made all the difference. Because if you let people, the greatest incentive beyond head and shoulders over anything else in this world is money. When you tell people, whoever kills a Jew gets to keep his money, is a bloodbath. If you tell them, you can kill a Jew, but you can't keep their money. Don't you dare touch their money. We're watching. Big Brother is watching. We have security cameras. It's not going to go so fast. The anti-Semitism is there. No, let's not make any mistake about that. But it would have been a different situation. So Haman here, the Pasuk says, Kichol asher tziva Haman. There is an emphasis, Kichol. Kichol asher tziva means more than what was authorized by the king. The king only authorized that much, and he went overboard. It was what he wanted, not what the king wanted, not what was agreed upon by the king. We'll see more of that later on, okay? So Kichol difaket Haman levas, who was it given over to? El is tiratilose malka. Nice word. Never heard of this word. Obviously, it's a translation of the word Achashtar Pinei. Some high-ranking official in government.
The military governor.
Military governor?
Yeah.
Who says it? Jastro?
I've seen it before.
Military governor. Military. So that's the military. The armed forces. Joint chief of staff. He's the one that's the Istiratiloy Seid Malka. Ulvas Haparchin. The mismanon arkoinin al kol palchayo. The governors. Okay, a parachin, that's a more common word. Right? That's a more common word. The governors. The people, that's called the pachois. The pachois, who have been appointed to rule arkoinin as leaders, arkoinin al kol palcha over every single medina. Who appointed them? Did the people appoint them? Was it a democracy? They were appointed by the people, or were they appointed by maybe the king was a dictator? It was the king was a dictator, but maybe there's some type of mix. When it comes to the governor, he lets the people decide who their governor representative is. But I'm the king, I'm the dictator. Okay, it doesn't say, it says they were appointed by somebody. Next, Ulavas Rav Rivone Amo, and all of the Rabbanim. The Rav Rone means the leaders, the sorei, the nobles of Amor v'Amo, Palchayo, and the very district, Kiroi Shem, like the impression, the script. Everyone, there should be no mistake, everyone should know what this should be written in their script. Kiroi Shem, Kos Kisav Hoin, v'Amo, and every nation, Ki Mamlal Lishone, like their language, their distinct language. B'shum Alka Achashverosh K'siv, it was written in the name of Achashverosh. No one should make any mistake, this was a royal decree. Umifaresh, and it was explained. That's a word, okay? K'siv, no, sorry, K'siv Umifaresh. I'm assuming that's what it means. Malkach, where do you put the word Umifaresh? It was B'shum Malka Achashverosh K'siv Umifaresh. Similarly, those two words go together. Umischatem, and it was sealed B'gush Panko de Malka, with the seal of the king. Okay, Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'nishlach Sefarim. Now the documents shall be delivered. Biad Horotzim, the runners. There were special runners who were trained for this.
They're the couriers.
The sole of their feet was cut. The spleen. They took out the spleen. Well, how does that help? Any doctors in the house? The spleen. It says they take out the spleen.
They don't need air conditioning. They get hot.
That's what it means. the spleen was taken out in order, the spleen somehow slows the person down. Yeah, his people also. This is a technique in ancient times. They would do a surgery to
remove feeling on the feet.
That's another thing they did. They took off the soles of the feet, the nerves. The nerve endings in the feet were removed in order that they can run on hard surfaces without any feeling in the feet. Okay, so this is what was done. And the Shlosh of Biyad HaRatzim, they'll call me the special people, they'll call me the Samelech, LaHashmid. What was the decree? LaHashmid is a very frightening pasuk. LaHashmid, LaHarog, ULaAbed. Three expressions. Okay, three fretting expressions, which we have to elaborate upon that. As kol ha-yehudim minar v'yad zokein, from the young until the old, taf v'noshim, and infants and noshim, b'yom echon, one day, on which day? B'shloisha asar, l'chodesh shtem asar, on the 13th day of the month of the Chodesh Adar, Chodesh Adar. Make no mistake that l'chodesh shtem asar is the Jewish month of Adar, not Chodesh Elul, not referring to the months based upon the calculation of the kings, ushlolom lavos, and all of their spoils, all of their property lavos can be plundered. The rule, the edict was, the king does not want their money. You can keep the money for yourself. It's a windfall. This was the ultimate incentive. The ultimate incentive in order for the decree to be carried out. Okay, let's take a look at the Pasuk Gimel and Rashi. Let's first go back to the previous Rashi. B'shlosh asor l'chodesh Adar, v'yom yud gimel lois l'chodesh, shehu yud beis l'chodesh Hashana. It was the 13th day of the 12th month. So interesting, it's exactly 12 months apart. He wrote this document on the 13th, on the first month. 11 months. Exactly 11 months to the day. And as we mentioned many times, 11 is the magic number of Esav. Esav has 11 alufim. Klal Yisrael has 12. The number 11 is the number of the Sitra Achra, the Ketores. How many Saman were there in the Ketores? 11. Why? To counteract. It's to counteract the Koyach of Esav. Esav is let's take a step back. When Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim, he received the Torah, he was a celebrity. They all loved him. Everyone gave him gifts. And even the Malach HaMavis was so humbled to have Moshe Rabbeinu as a guest in Shemayim for 40 days when Moshe received the Torah. So everyone gave him a gift. The Satan also gave him what a gift? He gave him the antidote to the Satan. What is the antidote to the Satan? The Ketores. And that's why the Magefa, after the mice of Midian, after the mice, when the Noshim of Midian, when Bilam failed to curse Klal Yisrael, so Bilam said, the next best thing is, let us advise the Benos Midian to go out in a prosta way to the Jewish people and cause them to have Hirhurim and do Averos, and now the Shechina will leave Klal Yisrael. And he succeeded. It was a terrible Magefa. The Kedusha of Klal Yisrael was diminished, and 24,000 people died. So they told this to Moshe. So what Moshe Rabbeinu knew how to stop the Magefa. How did he stop the Magefa? Also after Korach. They're different. They're both similar. But this happened also by Korach, by the mice of Korach. After the earth opened up and swallowed the Bnei Korach, so then people complained. And there was a Magefa. And Aaron knew what to do. Aaron went, he took the Ketores, and that stopped the Magefa. How did he know to be marked at the Ketores? And how did Moshe know this? Okay, I have to go with different stories, get the exact details. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemaim to receive the Torah, all of the Malachim gave him gifts. The Malach HaMavis also gave him a gift. The gift, the antidote. Whenever I'm hanging around, if you'll offer the Ketores, then I have no choice but to run away. Why is that something so special to the Malach HaMavis? Because the Malach HaMavis is the Yetzirah, it's the Satan, it's Esav, it's Amalek, it's all one the same. And it encapsulates, it represents the number 11. I don't really know what the number 11 is. I don't know, I'm just trying to show similarities. Is the number 11. This is his identity. The 11, Alufim of Esav. The Satan is number 11. 11? there are 11 ingredients in the Ketores, and this is what counteracts my Kayach of 11. I am 11, there are 11 ingredients in the Ketores. When you mark the Ketores, then there's no Sot and there's no Pegara. On Yom Kippur, we go for Kapara, the goal is L'chaim. That's the goal. The goal of Yom Kippur is L'chaim. What are we marked in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The Ketores. The 11 Samamonim. The Ketores is 11 because it is what is the antidote to the Satan, which represents Misa. Torah is Chaim. Eitz Chaim hi l'machazikim ba. The Satan is Misa. The antidote is number 11. Here is Haman. Haman is Tzor HaYehudim HaAgogi. He's the Agogi Tzor HaYehudim. Here he's coming to implement the plan. What is the plan? Exactly 11 months to the day. From the time that it's written to the time that it's going to be implemented, it's going to be exactly 11 months. It all starts with Bedikas Chametz, the 13th day, and then mainly it comes out 11 months later. Now we have to also realize that was part of the Goral. I mean, the Goral was, that's another issue which we discussed yesterday. Did the Goral specify the specific day, or did the Goral only specify the month? We'll talk about that soon later. We'll talk about Asar B'Teves. Is it a din in the day, or is it a din in the month? So this is the machlokes. Some say miyoyim liyoyim. Rashi seems to say miyoyim liyoyim. Chodesh chodesh. Rashi says that it was mamish. The girl was to the day. Others Rishonim say no, it was not to the day. It was to the month. But he handpicked this day. And if you can say why did he handpick this day, it was very simple. The reason why he knew the month had to be the month, but it would happen to be exactly 11 months to the day from the time that the letters are written. Okay, let's see. There is no other Rashi. Let's see the Targum on this part. And then we'll stop. We'll do more. Pasuk Gimel. Ule Shadara Pitkin. The goal was to send Pitkin. Pitkin is the translation of the word Sefarim. Bida in the hands. The Rihatunin. What? What? What do you say?
Pitkin Avenue. Okay.
Pitkin Avenue.
It's a note.
That's what it says. Sefarim.
Yeah.
It says v'nishloch. It doesn't say igeres. Doesn't say nigeres. It says a book. That's a very big. That's a very important detail. Doesn't say the Megillah knows about the word igeres. Okay, it's not shy from the word igeres. It's at the end of the Megillah. I'll call divrei hu igeres hazos. So it's very interesting. It says here the word sefarim, doesn't say nigeres. Maybe that was part of the technique. It was a book. In the book happened to be this coded message. If you just send an edict of just one letter, one edict, it's not going to be tolerated such anti-Semitism in a modern world. But if you send a whole book, whoever read Obamacare, how many volumes does it fill up? That's the interesting thing about it in modern times. All of these laws, they ask even more, and then they have other laws. They say that the budget it's like an encyclopedia, and they ask every member of Congress, did you read it? did you read it? No one read it. I ask you. Well, is everyone in this room has downloaded at some point in time software onto their computer? There's no question about it. We've downloaded an app onto your, and there's this agreement. I think the agreement for Waze. I was going in the car and someone had a smartphone and they were downloading as we were driving. They were downloading Waze. So this person said to me, "It's the agreement. The terms and conditions are 72 pages." To download Waze. Everyone knows Waze, you know, navigation in the car. It's 72 pages. And then you have to scroll and click. I have read, and I agree, and I accept the terms of conditions.
Yeah,
really?
If you get one condition, you're going to bet $1,000, someone's going to find that and sue the pants out of it.
I read, right? All you read is there even one person in this whole country of over 300 million people, I don't know how many have downloaded this app, have read the terms and conditions, 72 pages on the go? And for that matter, any piece of software that you download on your computer, it's a joke, right? It's a joke. If it would be just one line, one teeny line, okay, so then you know what you're reading. So l'chor, there's a technique. You don't know what's in there. There can be all these crazy things that are in there. That's a very clever technique. You can hide.
A lot of things in there that you really don't want.
Exactly, you don't want. They track you, they know what's going on, they know everything about you. They open up that smartphone.
The same way bills are passed in Congress.
And they're tracking you, they're monitoring you, the advertisements, so you don't know what you're giving away. If they would tell you exactly what they're giving away explicitly, you would say you'll never do it. But when it's packaged in 72 pages, you can get away with it. L'chaira, that's what the Pasuk here is saying. V'nishloach sifarim. We know about the word igeris. We're not ashamed of the word igeris. It's part of our vocabulary. It doesn't say that, because igeris would be too open. We're going to wipe out a whole nation. Modern world. Can't do that in the modern world. It's not politically correct. But when you send out a book, an encyclopedia, and somewhere in the middle of the book it says this is what's to be done, then you can get away with it. That's the pitkin. The pitkin is the book. Bidah, in the hands, diri hatunin of the runners, l'chol palche malka, all of the dishes of the king, l'sheitza means to destroy. Ulekatola, to kill. Uleho leho vada is a lashon of also to be oived. Oived means to destroy, to destruct. So three words. These three words really require much more elaboration. Lahashmid, laharogu, laabed. Three words: l'sheitzaa, ulekatola, uleho vada. Yos kol yehudoe min ulema. Okay, now that's something which does not say in the pasuk. To destroy from the world. From the world. Doesn't say that in the Pasuk. It's just Lahashmi La Regula Beit. Period. Make no mistake about it. Min Ulema. Ulema from this world. Viat Sava Taf Laya from. Oh, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I made a terrible mistake. Ulema means a taf. I'm sorry.
Min
ulema from a taf, from an infant, an infant, an infant. A taf, the outside to an old man. Taf.
Ulema means young, nar.
Right, nar. I'm sorry, nar, the outside of an old person. Then comes the infant. The taf laya, the infant, unishaya on the women. Biyom chadon one day. It should be carried on one day. Bitlas asar in a blitzkrieg. That was the technique. This was the technique of the Germans. You come in with, what was it called? Blitzkrieg? Blitzkrieg, that you don't come in gradually. You come in with overwhelming force. The United States adopted that, shock and awe, they adopted that policy in Persian Gulf War, number one and number two. That was taken from the Germans. Shock and awe. That's what it is. Blitzkrieg and shock, the same thing. And that's exactly that comes from Haman. One day, one shot, no chance for defense, overwhelming force. B'yom echadah b'tlas asar yomin, on the 13th day, l'yerach t'rei asar, the 12th month, hu yarcha da'adar, Ush lo lehon le'ado'o. That's lavos. They're spoils. You can keep for yourself the money. This is, again, the ultimate incentive is you get commission. 100% commission for your success. Okay? Atem advek v'atem advekim Hashem lokechem chayim kulchem hayoim. End of the good night.